In the name of the one who creates and redeems and sustains. As my family knows, I have never been one for scary movies. Take the movie Insidious, for example, that came out in 2010 and remains popular with the younger crowd, of which I realize I am no longer. Insidious tells the story of a family trying to prevent evil spirits from imprisoning their young comatose son in the netherworld. And it's full of classic horror moments and anticipatory suspense and creepy music. I must confess, none of this appeals to me. Neither the idea of anyone that I love being in a coma, much less the idea of having evil spirits taking advantage of the situation and moving in, so to speak. And yet, I am aware that the fascination this genre of film holds for others. Well, today's story from the Good News of Christ, as handed down to us by Luke, reads a bit like a horror story. The man possessed by evil spirits, wandering naked alone in the tombs. We can imagine how this might play out in the movie screen of our minds, hear the music, feel the suspense. We as viewers, however, enter this movie mid-story. We don't get to hear or know any of the backstory, and I've got lots of questions. What about the man's family? Did he have one? Where were they? What had happened to his family? And how long had the man been in this state? We hear that he'd been without clothes for a long time. Was it months? Years? Decades? Did it come about gradually or suddenly? What was the man's story? What was his life story before the demons? And had anything been done before to try and heal him? The word that's translated into English as demons, in other translations, devils or unclean spirits, is the Greek word daemon, daemoniai, which comes from the Greek verb diastai, or shares the same root, which means at its heart to divide, which may help give us a lens through which to understand the story more clearly. This man is indeed divided, separated, fragmented, disconnected, separated from his family, from his community, separated from the land of the living, so much so that his home is literally among the dead, wandering the tombs. Equally true is that this man is divided and separated, disconnected from his true, authentic self. No longer the author of his own life, no longer does he have agency over his actions. In fact, a host of spirits, a legion, controls him. His actions, his very words, they speak for him, in him, through him. They've, in fact, usurped his very identity. Legion is my name, is the response we hear when Jesus asks, "What is your name?" That Luke uses this particular word, legion, needs additional comment here, because anyone hearing the story in first century Roman occupied Palestine would have immediately recognized that word legion as referring to a Roman military unit. The full strength legion consisted of 6,000 men and soldiers. And get this, in fact, the town of Gerasa or Gadara, there's some scholarly debate as to which town this was, but there was a massacre in mid-first century Palestine, a massacre of Jews by the Romans, Jews who were giving up their lives attempting to resist Roman oppression. So just as the Jewish people had lost agency over their lives under the brutal occupation of an invading military army, so too had this man lost agency over his own life. Now, the idea of demon possession is something that most of us associate with horror movies, not the stuff of real life. And yet, each of us, all of us, know what it feels like to lose our right mind, so to speak, to lose agency, to lose ourselves, if only for a moment, completely taken over, for example, by a spirit of anger or frustration at that crazy person who just cut me off on I-83. And we find ourselves yelling out and screaming, completely taken over by the spirit, by someone else, because of someone else who was driving out of their right mind. Does that sound familiar? And what about the spirit of hatred? Countless, heartbreaking examples of acts motivated out of this singular spirit of hatred. Losing one's right mind, meaning the mind that is aligned with God's mind and heart and spirit of compassion and mercy. Someone out of his or her right mind, completely disconnected from the spirit of humanity, ungrounded, fragmented from the rest of the fully whole and wholly integrated human spirit. What about the spirit of greed, acting out of that singular spirit, hoarding, as opposed to living out of alignment with God by trusting in God's spirit of abundance and provision? Give us today our daily bread, our daily bread. What about losing a sense of agency, being overtaken by a spirit of powerlessness, feeling shackled and bound with fear that keeps us from fully living as agents of the Holy One? Does any of this sound and feel familiar to you? It does to me. What about being trapped in the prison of the past and allowing past hurts to dictate, as opposed to healed selves having agency of our lives, living in the past instead of the present? Each of us knows what it is to act out of fragmentation and division and separateness, as opposed to acting out of wholeness. Each of us knows what it is to act out of a part of ourself, as opposed to acting out of the fullness and wholeness and holiness of ourselves. We can even understand the sin, the collective sin of racism in this lens, identifying with only part of the human race, as opposed to identifying with the whole of the human race. It is Christ who calls us to wholeness. It is Christ who embodies wholeness and invites us into that one body. It's Christ who calls us back to our true selves, and Christ who reminds us of our true identity as the beloved children of the living God, one living God. In the spirit of Galatians, there is no longer Jew or Greek, no longer slave or free, male or female, black or white, rich or poor, gay or straight. All of you, all of us are one in Christ Jesus. That is the call of Christ that we walk in. We are invited, in fact, commanded to embody. It's Christ who restores us to ourselves. Now, this kind of living and this kind of reality is fearsome and fearful. Those people in the town who saw the demoniac now clothed and in his right mind were afraid, because everything that they knew and everything that they had assumed was true was no longer true, and there was something bigger and more powerful that really was real. It's disruptive living into this kingdom, this new creation of God, where each of us acts out of this place of true connection. I'd like to share and continue a story that I told and began to tell the last time I preached about living out of this place of connection, in which also intuition has a part, listening deeply for that Spirit of God that is speaking into your mind and your heart. As I shared, and most of you know, my mom died last month, and I shared the last time I preached the story of praying a few hours after she had died, and after she had surrendered her spirit. And in the instant of this prayer, of how are we still connected, Mom? How are we still connected? How are you going to communicate? How is the Spirit going to communicate? I received this text from a friend of mine who was in Spain, 6 hours ahead, who sent me a picture of a heart dug in the sand. She happened to have been walking on the beach, and then the letter C-R-I-S-T-I-N-A, my name, spelled correctly for me without the H because she was in Spain. So I think many of you have heard that story. There's a part two to that story that I'd like to share with you, because I asked my friend what her side of the story was. How was it that she got to the beach on that particular moment? And how was it that she texted me what she did when she did? You ready to hear it? I just have to tell the story. My friend had been walking on the Camino, which is the route, pilgrim routes that are ancient, that go across Europe and converge at the Church of St. James, Santiago. David has walked the Camino. Others have walked the Camino in this community. She had been walking on the Camino, and she had had to make a very difficult decision listening to her intuition. The person that she was traveling with, she realized she needed to distance herself from, again, listening to her intuition, because she felt like it was not a safe space any longer. And so she backtracked, hiked back over the mountain that she had just traveled over, went back to the lodging where she had been. So a complete 180, listening to her intuition. The hostess of the inn put her in a room with a new fellow traveler who happened to be deaf. When they got up in the morning, my friend, instead of going the way she normally went, wanted to accompany her new friend, who was accustomed to walking along the beach. And so my friend accompanied her new friend walking along the beach when they happened to see the heart first, which drew them closer. And that's when my friend saw my name, or the spelling of my name, and decided in that moment, she said, I need to take this picture right now and text it to Christina. And she didn't know that my mom had died. So that's that part of the story. And I share that because for me, it lifts up this idea that there is something bigger and larger that we are connected to, and that connects us and binds us. And each of us have access to this. And we can, with our intuition and practicing prayer and deep listening, if each of us acts out of this kind of agency, the connections that can be made, bringing heaven on earth, it's not an illusion. That is real, and that is what's really real, this oneness and connectedness. Even though we are many and different, we are one. We are one. The living connected to the dead. I'm going to end with, I know that some folks here were able to go listen to Paul McCartney and Camden Yards the other day, and so I've been thinking about musicians and my favorite musicians. And this song by another kind of older band, U2, came to mind. And so I'd like to end with the wisdom of Bono, the Holy Spirit speaking through Bono. There's one love, one blood, one life. You've got to do what you should. One life with each other, sisters, brothers, one life, We're not the same, but we get to carry each other. We get to carry each other. One, one, one. Amen.